word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. You know, the power of forgiveness cannot be overstated. When you think about Jesus Christ, what stands out to you most? And certainly, you can't think about Christ without thinking about His capacity for forgiveness. That stands out head and shoulders above everything else. I mean, picture Him there. He has been on trial. They lied about Him. They've insulted Him. They've mocked Him. They spit in His face. They beat Him with the palms of their hands. They whipped Him with the Roman scourge. They put the crown of thorns on His head, and they nailed Him to a cross to die in humiliation and cruelty. And yet, the first thing that He said from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amazing that all of the cruelty that He went through on that day could not in any way diminish His heart of mercy and love, His capacity to forgive even those who treated Him so shamefully. When you think about Christ, that's what you think about: a heart of forgiveness. And when we wear the name Christian, we are saying that we are Christ people. We are people who belong to Christ. We are people who are ever learning from Christ. We are people who are ever striving to be like Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. We want to, by our lives, magnify the Lord for all of our neighbors to see. And as Christ people, we must always be working on our capacity to forgive. One of the best ways for us to share the faith is our willingness to forgive one another. And one of the worst ways for us to hinder the faith is by refusing to forgive each other. Philemon is probably the most personal letter of the New Testament. And I encourage you, if you have your Bibles handy, to be opening them to this letter. This is what we're going to be studying on our program today. This letter was written because conflict had arisen between Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon was a wealthy man who had become a Christian, and he lived in the city of Colossae back at the time of the New Testament. At one point, he had a slave named Onesimus, but Onesimus had done wrong that hurt Philemon. We don't know exactly the situation, but evidently Onesimus had done wrong and then ran away. Later, Paul met Onesimus in Rome. He was able to study with him and bring him into a saving relationship with the Lord. Now, Onesimus realizes that he had done wrong to Philemon, and he's sorry about that. He wants to make it right with Philemon. So, Paul sends Onesimus back to Colossae with this letter in his hand. And the hope was that this letter would help to ease this conflict between Philemon and Onesimus. Onesimus was likely standing right in front of Philemon as he read this letter for the first time. Paul wanted to encourage Philemon to have the heart of Christ and forgive Onesimus. Paul writes this letter to urge Philemon and help him. And in this letter, we too can find some things that will help us forgive when the situation calls for it. And as we do, we will share our faith to the one that we forgive and to all others who see it happen. So let's talk about this letter to Philemon And let's talk about sharing the faith. First of all, I notice how Paul shares his faith in God. In verse 3, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The process of reconciliation begins with grace. Our sin separated us from the fellowship, the friendship of God. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But our sins have separated us from God and hid his face so they will not hear. Isaiah 59:1-2. God could have easily turned his back on us forever. But instead, God turned toward us with open arms, and that's grace. God was willing to withhold the just punishment that our sin deserved. He was willing to forgive and forget the past. And this forgiveness is possible because of God and because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is not only a merciful God, he is a just God. He cannot look the other way when sin has been committed. The punishment had to be executed. That's where Jesus comes in. He was willing to accept that punishment upon himself, and this enabled God to still be the just God that he is, but also be merciful. God did something for us that we don't deserve, and that's what we call grace. Grace makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God now in the present, in spite of everything that's happened in the past. And we need to take that and apply it to our lives too. It's not always easy, and I'll be the first to admit that, but we too need to share the grace that God has given us. In order to forgive, we too must be willing to give grace. Philemon had a legal right to give Onesimus a severe punishment. But will he choose to execute that punishment, or will he choose mercy and grace? Sometimes we have to let go of our want or our desire for justice. We have to let go of a desire to give people what they deserve. Grace can do that. That's why we call it amazing grace. Because of God's grace, we are able to have peace. We are able to enjoy that bond with God in the present. We're able to have peace in the severest storm of life because we know that God is with us and we have peace. We are free from fear and guilt and have peace inside. We can look forward to the future with peace. And hopefully, that will inspire us to give forgiveness to others and experience that peace with them. Not only does Paul share his faith in God, but he also shares his faith in Philemon. He calls Philemon a beloved friend and fellow laborer in verse 1. In verses 4 through 9, he says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." You can tell that Paul and Philemon have shared a long and true friendship with each other, a friendship that was made stronger because of their connection with Christ. Paul remembered him often in prayer and was filled with gratitude every time he thought about him. They had worked side by side with equal devotion to the Lord, He knew that Philemon had a big heart, that he loved the Lord and he loved the church. But he also knew that Philemon had a strong faith, that his faith had endured some tough times. Philemon's life gave Paul encouragement and helped him to keep on keeping on. Philemon had helped many Christians to keep on keeping on. Paul knew that as an apostle, he could command Philemon to forgive Onesimus, and Philemon would be forced to obey that. But he also knew that he didn't need to, because he knew Philemon's heart. So he appealed to love, and he knew that would be enough for Philemon. Paul had no doubt whatsoever about Philemon's sincerity to do the right thing. You know, I want to be like Philemon, don't you? That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to have the kind of influence that my life gives people encouragement. I want people to know that I want to do the right thing. You know, one of the things I love about this is it's very practical, very wise on Paul's part. So often when we get into conflict, we let anger, we let anxieties take over, and it's like pouring gas on a fire. We just escalate the tension. It's amazing to me how calm Paul is here. And before really diving into the conflict between Philemon and Onesimus, he just stops to share love with his brother. That gives him such a greater platform for trying to make peace. Whenever conflict arises, we just need to take some time to calmly pray and remember all of the good things that we know about a person. This creates an environment that's more conducive to forgiveness. When we're angry or tense, we have a tendency only to see the negative in other people, which fuels the fire and bitterness that burns within us. It creates tension and widens the distance between us. Because none of us are perfect. There's positive and negative in you. There's positive and negative in the people with whom you may have conflict. We must be willing to forgive. Jesus warned us, God does not forgive those who are not willing to forgive others, Matthew 6:13-14. We will all get hurt by someone at some point. And the fact of the matter is, we have all hurt someone else in spite of our best intentions. It takes effort to find the good in others and focus on that, but it's worth it because hopefully it will cool the fire and make it easy for us to forgive. So I'm asking you, as I'm reflecting myself, is there someone that I need to give this gift of grace to right now? I pray that Philemon's example will encourage us and inspire us to do that. But also, now that Paul has shared his faith in God, and also he has shared his faith in Philemon, the next thing he does is shares his faith in Onesimus. Let's begin reading in verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, Philemon, for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he may minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. A lot of rich things to talk about there in those verses. Paul had also developed a strong bond with Onesimus. Paul had led him to the gospel as a father leads his son. He had taught him about Jesus, taught him the plan of salvation, and Onesimus had responded by believing in Jesus, repenting of his sins, confessing his faith in Christ, and being baptized in the name of Christ. There the blood of Jesus washed away his sins, and Onesimus went from being a slave of the world to a servant of Christ. He went from being lost to being saved. And the amazing thing is that Paul was able to do all of this while he was himself imprisoned in Rome. You imagine you're being taught the gospel by a prisoner, and if you accept what he's preaching, you may very well end up right there in the cell beside him. It says something about Onesimus's sincerity, that he was willing to accept the truth under those conditions. It says something about his faith. The name Onesimus means profitable. In the past, Onesimus had been unprofitable to Philemon. I don't know what the situation was, but I think there's more to this than maybe what we really know. In verse 16, Paul says to Philemon that Onesimus was a beloved brother, especially to me. Now, there he's obviously talking about the spiritual. Now that Onesimus had obeyed the gospel, Paul and Onesimus had become brothers in Christ. But then he goes on to say, how much more to you? He's not only my brother, but he's your brother, Onesimus. And then he says this, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In some sense, Philemon and Onesimus were brothers in the flesh. Now, does that mean literally? Were they literally brothers? I don't know. That's certainly possible. And if that is the case, one wonders, how then did Onesimus become Philemon's slave? Slavery was very common in the first century Roman world. Most often, it was because a person got into a debt that could not be repaid, and so they would become a slave either until the debt was repaid or until they died. Now, I'm doing a lot of guessing here, but, it seems to me the pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together. Most likely, Onesimus had borrowed money from Philemon, perhaps his brother, and got in over his head and for whatever reason, got into a situation where he could not repay the debt. Philemon forced Onesimus to become his slave. Sometimes brothers can be harder on each other than they are on anyone else. That's not always the case, but it often is. And Onesimus evidently just was rebellious. He was a trouble. He was a problem. And he ran away before his debt had been repaid to his brother. All of this is kind of hinted at in this statement that Paul makes when he says he was once unprofitable to you. In other words, not only were you not making profit on his service, but you lost a lot of money, or you lost a lot of heartache over him, suffered a lot of heartache over him. But Paul says that's all changed now. And now he is profitable to you and to me. Onesimus was profitable in helping Paul lead others to Jesus. And Paul wanted to keep Onesimus with him, to keep helping him with that work. But there was some other business that needed to be taken care of first. Paul tells Philemon, listen, I'm sending a piece of my heart back to you. And he believed that Philemon would now view Onesimus as a brother, instead of the troublemaker that he used to be. I love to see Paul sticking his neck out here for Onesimus. I can't help but reflect on some other moments in Paul's life when I see him doing that. Because Paul is doing for Onesimus what Barnabas had done for Paul. In the beginning of his life as a Christian, the church did not trust Paul. Before he became a Christian, he was Saul, the persecutor of the church. And when he first became a Christian, the church wanted nothing to do with him. In Acts 9, 26 and 27, it says, "When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." They were focused on the persecutor he used to be. And, you know, they had suffered a lot of pain. Paul had probably caused them all pain, or caused their families pain. And they were clinging to that pain, but not Barnabas. Verse 27 says that Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him, and he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was focused on the Christian that Paul was in the present. He was willing to forgive the past and work together. Paul must have been reflecting on what Barnabas did for him, as he's now encouraging Philemon to do the same. Furthermore, Paul may have thought about what Barnabas did for Mark. When Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, John Mark accompanied them, but for some reason he deserted them at Pamphylia. When they set out to go on their second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance, but Paul refused. And the dissension between them became so sharp that they parted ways and didn't work together anymore. Paul was focused on the deserter that Mark was on the past trip, but Barnabas was focused on how devoted Mark was for the present trip. With Barnabas' help, Mark became a man known for devotion rather than desertion. In fact, Mark was standing there with Paul when he wrote this letter to Philemon. If you look at verse 24, you can see that. I can just imagine Paul looking at Mark and realizing he didn't stick his neck out for Mark, but now he is motivated to stick his neck out for Onesimus. Now it's Paul's turn to be the peacemaker. And the Lord said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Matthew 5:9. Let's stop and let's think for a moment. Am I a troublemaker or a peacemaker? Am I a troublemaker because I cause problems for others? Or maybe I'm a troublemaker because I refuse to forgive. I refuse to let go of the pain that was caused by trouble at some point in my life. It's such a bitter and unhappy way to live a life. It's much more pleasant to be a peacemaker, like Paul is doing here. So, Paul has shared his faith in God, his faith in Philemon, and his faith in Onesimus. And the final thing is that Paul shares his faith in forgiveness. Beginning in verse 17, Paul says, "If you then count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. If he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you." Paul believed that Philemon would willingly give Onesimus the same reception he would give Paul. Paul offered to take responsibility for anything that Onesimus owed Paul, but Paul also reminded Philemon the role Paul had taken in leading him to the Lord. He expressed his desire for the relief of hearing that they were reconciled. Can you imagine how nervous Paul must have been when Onesimus left him? How he must have waited anxiously, and how relieved he must have been when he finally received the news that Philemon had forgiven Onesimus. As Paul intercedes for Onesimus, we can see what Christ has done for us. He has done for us everything that Paul was doing for Onesimus. Just like Paul, Jesus took our debt onto his own account. Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isn't that amazing? Amazing that Jesus was willing to endure so much for us. Paul told Philemon, "Whatever he owes you, put that on my account." And Jesus was willing to put our debt on his account. He suffered and died and endured the punishment that we deserved. Paul told Philemon, "Receive Onesimus as you would receive me." And now, because of what Jesus did, we can have hope that God will receive us the way he would receive Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God for his unspeakable gift. Friend, God is offering you grace and peace today. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, Titus 2:11 says. And being justified by faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. For as many of you who has been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. God is waiting for you with open arms and an eager heart. And I promise that if you will run to him today and obey the gospel, he will run to you. Christian, if you are estranged from the Lord today, he wants you to come home. It's time to forget the past and spend the rest of your life walking with him hand in hand. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. And faithful Christians, I hope that you have an enhanced appreciation for the blessing of being reconciled with God. But let's also ask ourselves, is there someone with whom I need to be reconciled? Who is my Onesimus? Today's the day to let go of that hurt and forgive once and for all. Is it difficult? Yes, but it's possible through the grace of our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
and alive.